Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready to tune into an incredible podcast experience. Welcome to Suited Tutor, the podcast show that delivers enlightening insights and captivating knowledge. Prepare to be amazed as we dive deep into the exciting world of education and empowerment. And now, it's time to introduce your extraordinary host. Give a roaring round of applause for the one and only Wolfie Lloyds.
Good afternoon. It's another beautiful Thursday afternoon in the UK, and today we have a special guest called Mary Glasspool, I guess the world's top favorite tutor for English. My name is Wolfie Lloyds, and today on this today's podcast, we're going to talk about the Wisdom Whispers. So Mary, can I just ask if you could start by introducing yourself and share a few things about your background and about your wealthy experience in teaching or tutoring English, please.
Hello, everyone. Yes, that would be a pleasure. I've been teaching English as a foreign language since 2004, and I travelled around the world teaching in different countries. And I've been teaching English GCSE, language and literature, since 2018. I used to work as the head of English in PT College in London. And then I became a self-employed tutor around 2015.
Impressive. Okay, Mary. Now, Mary, as you must be aware of, now we are traversing the GCSE exam period. On that note, most of the students across the world, perhaps IGCSE, year 10 students, according to the UK standards, they will be sitting the exam the year after. On that note, do you have any effective revision techniques which can be quite important or useful to provide some guidelines for students so they can actually prepare for their GCSE exams? What would you best suggest, Mary?
All right. The first thing I would like to say is that you need to decide what kind of learner you are. And so, for example, if you're a visual learner, then it can be really helpful if you put up information on cork boards in your bedroom, for example, with some information that you need to know for your exam, or mirrors. Everybody looks at themselves first thing in the morning, so it's the first place you will look, and if you look there and you see your revision information, it will help you to absorb it. I can still remember things that I learned from walls which I pinned up, so I think this is a really useful way to help yourself to remember important information for the exam.
Okay. So look at the mirror. So basically, you have to look at yourself and just say, you know what? Today you look glamorous. You look fab. You look stacked. Okay. What a great way to start the day.
Try not to get distracted by looking at yourself too much and taking too many selfies.
I guess the golden rule, Mary, as you are recommending, is just for a few seconds. Just don't spend the whole day looking at yourself, right? And admiring who you are, what you have become, right? Is that correct, Mary?
Absolutely not.
Okay, Mary. Going forward. So, right. So one of the things that many, many students nowadays are trying to revise on the very last minute, Mary. So they haven't done the revision throughout the whole academic year. And then I would say within the last 7 days, just give it 2 weeks. I'm now trying to be generous right now, including myself sometimes when I used to be a student once upon a time. And so I'd like to ask now, Mary, how can students balance their time between revising for their exams and also being ready for the GCSEs as well, papers? And also, on that note, what is the difference between the English literature and also English language exams? It's something that is kind of like, it's a bit of mind-boggling. So could you please shed some light, Mary?
Sure, I would love to. So the first thing is that you've got three main bodies of English language and literature: EdExcel, AQA, and some students take their exam with, which is IGCSE. And this is for students whose first language is not English. Out of those three exam boards, I would say that the EdExcel had more questions on the exam paper than AQA.
Oh, wow.
It's a little bit more complex, but they're basically asking you for the same types of information. You were saying about how students should prepare themselves for
exactly. Not, so what should do? Any golden tips from
to not end up sort of panicking at the last minute and the worst thing that the students.
That's why I do as well. That's why I do, Mary.
Yeah, I think we're all procrastinators and we can all leave things till the last minute. And then, of course, you're panicking. You're not eating properly. You're not sleeping the night before the, and then you wake up grumpy, not ready, and then you don't get the grades that you want. So I think the ways that you can avoid this, to divide the English language and the English literature paper and divide your time between the two exams. Now, for my students, I've broken it down into 7 categories. You can study a little bit of each of these categories every day. Now, there are 7 days in the week, right?
I guess so. I mean, it could be 8. I don't know, Mary. You know best, right? You know best.
So you can have, for example, language paper 1 analysis on a Monday, creative fiction on a Tuesday, language paper 2 analysis on a Wednesday, creative nonfiction on a Thursday, Shakespeare on Friday, poetry on Saturday, and your modern and contemporary text on a Sunday. So if you stick to that schedule and you do a little bit of each of those topics on a rotational basis, then you'll be absolutely ready when it comes to the day of the exam.
Okay, okay. I think we're getting there. Now, Mary, I'm just trying to build upon your really good suggestions. So on that perspective, when it comes to the practical tips and techniques, what are some, again, from your experience, since you have been teaching English for quite many years, what are some common mistakes that students are making whilst they are doing their revision, and how can they prevent them going forward?
As you say, like quite a lot of students are making the mistake of getting distracted, maybe by their mobile phones, maybe by social media, maybe by things that are going on in the house. And so the students need a quiet place to study. And also, I would suggest having a study partner, because they're going through the same experience as you. And so you really understand each other. You might find somebody on your course, or it might be somebody that you found on social media. But I strongly recommend getting somebody to help you, because they can motivate you and prevent you from falling into those traps, of scrolling social media or playing computer games, and actually get you back into revision mode.
Interesting. But just to set the right expectations, Mary, you don't have to be engaged with your student partner, right? Just want to kind of like just clear this for myself. You're not asking someone to get married with you, right? Just for my reference.
As in married? No.
Yeah, it could be anyone, right? It could be even as well your classmate as a student.
Yeah, it can be somebody in your school. But if you can't find somebody who wants to do it, then you could find them on social media and advertise for somebody who's doing English language or GCSE and wants a study buddy. And then it should be possible to find somebody who can support you.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see, Mary. Now, when it comes to the resources or perhaps tools, are there any particular resources or any online tools or old school tools that you find especially helpful for English revision, Mary?
My favorite method is quizzes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of these quizzes, because you can compete against yourself or you can compete against people in your peer group. And these revision exercises, it feels really gamified, like you're playing a computer game.
Fascinating.
And that's really great, because it's fun. A lot of, revision that we think of the traditional methods are quite boring. And so the quiz, it's colourful, it's interactive. It's really great for motivating the students. And you can compete against other people. And there's a real sense that you're levelling up. Repetition is key to learning. You can go back to the quiz and you can do it again and try to beat your score.
Interesting. Okay. I like the sort of a leaderboard sort of like situation.
Yeah.
To be able to promote and advocate some healthy competition, I guess, Mary.
Yes, I think, getting a trophy at the end of it all. We all like trophies, right?
I do. I mean, especially if it's going to be a diamond instead of a golden one. Hopefully, I'm not asking right now too many things, Mary.
I've got a trophy on my desk for the students, and if they do really good work, then I give it to them.
I understand. Now, when it comes to the motivation or mindset perspective, Mary, let's be honest. I mean, not everyone is born to be highly disciplined and highly motivated at all costs and at all times. So on that side, as a parent or perhaps as a tutor, what can they do to support students in developing, I would say, a positive revision mindset so they can stay on track? What would you recommend, Mary, on that?
I think that having parents on board as a revision process is really important. Obviously, I understand that not every parent can do it because they're working or they're busy with other things. And if parents have large families especially, it's difficult to support all the students. But I think they can at least try to. For example, maybe cooking them a nice food. Because when you're nourished, then you feel strong and you feel ready to study. And that can really help. But also being there available, you know, psychologically for any problems or concerns that your child has. And then on the practical side, if there is time, helping them to revise and testing them, you know, giving them some flashcards and testing them on the flashcard would be something I would suggest.
I understand, especially for the eating things. Well, I've only had my lunch as in yet, and speaking of for food for thought in our accommodations, I quite like the lasagna. So I guess for the food, Mary, it has to be healthy options. We're not talking about burgers or pizzas and, you know, let's stick to something nice and healthy, revitalizing. Is that correct? Would that help?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny because when I was at school, one of my classmates, when she was revising, she used to eat jelly babies and Smarties and all of these high calorific sweets, which of course, you know, they do give you a buzz, a bit like energy drinks, I suppose, you know. Some people find that works for them. I mean, it's not healthy, obviously. You know, some people do find that having a sugar rush helps them. But no, I would highly recommend that. You're right. I would say healthy food like natural sugars, for example, fruit juices, salads, and healthy things important for the students.
I understand. Now, Mary, this is a bit of because yes, I understand that I have to keep a distance at least of 2 meters away from the microphone because I have a very big nose. And for those who are now keep on wondering, is because I'm being very, very, very nosy at the moment. Me and Pinocchio. Okay. What can I say? Now, Mary, what?
2 meters.
Pardon?
2 meters. It traumatizes me back to COVID time.
Oh my. So Mary, what has been the most rewarding aspect when it comes to yourself trying to help students for their GCSE English exams? Any kind of golden moments or any rewarding perspectives or anything that you have achieved and your students have come back to you and said to you, oh, teacher, Mary, I've done XYZ thanks to your, I guess, Mary, I'm going to pass the baton to you right now.
All right. I'll tell you about an experience that I had last year with a student who was doing his English language GCSE, and his parents were really worried about him because they said he was falling behind and he wasn't getting the grades that he needed to pass the exam. And English is really important for students because without it, whatever they want to do in life, if they haven't got the GCSE, then it's blocking them and it's stopping them from going to college. The college wants GCSE, whatever it is. So he was really in a pickle. And came forward to me and said, could I help him? And one of his problems was that he was struggling to remember the literary technique. Now, I came up with a mnemonic, which is a way of helping students to remember important information in an interesting way. So there's, for example, there's the mnemonic shampoo. S is for simile. H is for hyperbole. A is for alliteration. M is for metaphor. P for personification, O for oxymoron. Okay. And then that spells shampoo down the page, like an acrostic. And he learned it and he memorized it. And then when he came to the exam, he was able to use it to help him to identify his literary technique. And he passed. And then the students' father came to me and said it was largely thanks to the support that he got from his tutor that he was able to get the results that he did.
Wow, Mary, that's fascinating. And honestly, Mary, what I'm just thinking right now is that if I decide ever to shower anyone with compliments, I will definitely use your literature technique about the shampoo. So again, shout out compliments, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Mary, just out of curiosity, because for all the great members in the audience, we'd like to find out more about yourself. So how can students, parents, tutors, and wealthy lawyers who want to get raving autographs from your side, they can actually get in touch with you and find you if they need to seek more additional support? How can they get hold of you?
All right. Well, you can get hold of me by email. I'm on Outlook and I'm also on Gmail as well. You can send me a message. I've got a website and I'm actually in the process of uploading and creating my own exam papers.
Wow.
So it's things that students won't have seen before. And this is a big advantage because, you know, you do get some students who are given past exam papers and the first thing they do is to go and look online and find the answer sheet and then send it back to me. Perfect. But it's not their own work. The advantage of coming to me and getting the exam papers will be that you won't have an answer sheet available anywhere unless you ask for it at the end. So that's that. I'm also on YouTube. I'm creating YouTube videos to help students with, at the moment, the 11 plus. Sorry, not 11 plus, 13 plus.
No worries, Mary.
And so the videos will talk you through each question in each stage of the exam process. And you get the opportunity to practice.
Got it, Mary. Well, everyone, I think that should be it for today. Thank you all for listening to this engaging, interactive podcast from the one and only Mary Glassball on the other side. That was your humble and, I would say, irritating host, Wolfie Lloyds. And from our side, have an amazing day, everyone. Thank you and au revoir.
Stay tuned for more captivating conversations and enlightening insights on Suited Tutor, the podcast show that never fails to amaze and delivers an exceptional educational experience. Follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or LinkedIn at Suited Tutor. Until next time, stay tuned to Suited Tutor's podcast, where education meets empowerment. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch up with you in the next episode.